Hello, everyone, and welcome to your favorite podcast where we take a deep dive into the juicy stuff of video games, anime, live action goodies, and everything else that gets our geeky hearts racing. From unraveling the mysteries of your favorite franchises, you know this is a place where all things meta collide. So get comfy and let's geek out together on this wild ride through yours truly, the Meta Era Nerd Podcast. What's up, Rico? How you doing, man?
Dang, bringing the heat.
Okay. First of all, which I was going to do this anyways, but let me tell you about that introduction. I was like, damn it, where am I going to? I'm trying to come up with an intro and I couldn't. And one of the things we started doing, right, is, you know, and granted, this was a hype train already from a while back, right, with ChatGPT, right? But one of the things we actually do in school whenever there's AI now where we're able to generate questions and use those as a basis to create our own. So I was like, you know what? So, you know, some of us doing Squarespace, I legit type in ChatGPT. Can you create a short introduction on the Meta Era Nerd Podcast where we talk about anime, video games, whatever, whatever? And it gave me this full blown thing, and I was like, "Can you make it shorter?" And I copy and pasted to the chat or to this thing. I changed a couple of things here and there, man. But this is like 70% ChatGPT, bro. And I was like, depending on how Rico reacts to it. I'm gonna tell him, and I was gonna keep the, I was gonna ride with all the credit. Like, yeah, man, I made this from scratch. But no, I could, I don't have it in me, because I know Rico is like the Zen master when it comes to those introductions, right? So, but obviously, no, there's some great words, some good things, and I like to think my delivery helps, right?
Yeah, so, well, you nailed it.
Thank you. And again, the delivery helps, right? But I just had to give credit to you, yeah. But as an educator, it is something that we use as a tool. So I said, why not? You know, let me see what it comes up with. And I barely got on that ChatGPT train. I know what. So last year, right? 2023, gross.
Nah, dude, I love ChatGPT. I actually have tried to use it for an intro one time, but I just didn't like it. Like, I kind of have my little formula that I follow already. You know, sometimes I go off and do crazy stuff, but most of the time I stick to like my same little formula. So I've tried it, but I didn't really like what it did. So it's cool that you like found it, you kind of revised it, and you nailed the delivery. Honestly, 10 out of 10.
Thank you. And obviously, you know, being an English teacher, I do revise quite a bit. And even Rico does a lot of essay work and stuff like that. So, but in this case, it's very funny because in school, when we grade papers now, you know, students try to get away with legit using ChatGPT and some of their essays. And obviously when you read them, you know damn well that they didn't write this, you know what I mean? And then there was other instances where we did something, right? Okay, students, get a letter of recommendation, I don't know what, from your teachers. And we even caught teachers using ChatGPT in their letters of recommendation. And I was like, and it was just for a small organization. Like I'm the committee, we judge, right? But it was funny because, you know, three of the four teachers legit had the same like introductions, you know, give or take. And, you know, they personalize them a little bit, but it does do at least a lot of the work for you. So yeah, it was pretty funny. So I just wanted to, you know, highlight that, hey, you know, but so I'll give it 50-50 because my delivery was good. Tooting my own horn. Only because Rico said so. Yeah. But how you doing, man? Doing all right?
Doing good. It feels like it's been a while. It always feels like we don't talk for a long time, and then like we look back and it's like, oh, it's been 2 days, or 3 days or whatever. But this one feels like a longer one for some reason. But everything been good over here. Have been kind of busy with a lot of stuff, so haven't really been gaming. Haven't really gotten to watch too much. But I mean, other than some of the things we're going to talk about here, it's kind of what took up like my weekend and last couple of days. How about you?
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned it, because who was it? Every once in a while, I'll get on with Omar and Daniel and stuff like that. And the running joke now is oh, Rico doesn't get on, Marcus get on. But I'm just like, what are you talking about? I'm always like, I'll talk to you guys, right? But lately, I've just been kind of surfing the internet because, no joke, I've been dying to buy cards. And I don't tell these things to those guys because they'll make fun of me. But I've just been dying to buy cards. So as I'm talking to them, I'm surfing, you know, which cards I want to buy, which card games I want to check out, and, you know, get into those things. And Omar hits me with, hey, you know where Rico's at? And I was like, oh, I think he's in San Diego, but I think I'm back. This was a while back, right? So I'm telling a story. And he goes, damn, how do you know? I was like, no joke, Omar. I talk to Rico maybe like every day. I was like, the longest I go without talking to him is probably like 2-3 days Tops. Yeah, three days, four days, I'm calling this guy like, hey, are you okay, man? What's up, man? Like, tops. And that's because that's very rare. So now that if Omar ever listens to this podcast and hears this snippet, he's going to be like, oh, yeah. And I won't hear the end of it. But either way, it's been a good week. Well, it's barely started, right? But we did have testing. We finally started our STAR exam here in the state of Texas. I'm not sure of other states. I'm sure they do. I know some do, like Delaware does and stuff like that in California and some. But again, I don't know who doesn't. You know, obviously the majority do. But we did have our state exams, the STAR test here in Texas. We did the English 1 exam. And anybody who's an educator knows that, you know, we teach and we get into and all these things, man. But they have testing. And if you're administering these exams, you're stuck in a room for about 6 hours with these students. And a good thing is our admin do a good job of, you know, setting up breaks. You know, we have our 30-minute lunch and all that kind of stuff, man. But you're just stuck in this room, and yeah. You know, and the students get restless. You kind of, I've learned not to get restless and stuff like that. Because keep in mind, we're not allowed to have anything with us or anything, you know, anything on you. Yeah, not even us. Like cell phones and stuff like that. You put them on silent, put them in my pocket. You don't take it out because if they catch you, it's over. You know what I mean? No electronics, no Apple, what do you call it, watches, nothing like that. So I'm just stuck in a room looking at kids for, you know, 5-6 hours or however long it takes. What I did start doing is Sudoku puzzles.
Okay.
A week in advance, you know, I'll take a Sudoku puzzle, whatever, and I'll transfer everything over to just like a little post-it note or something. You know, my own scratch paper, right? To where I can actually do Sudoku puzzles as I...
But you can't even take a book, like, because I know there's booklets of them.
According to our manual, apparently we are allowed to actually read something, but in our district, for some reason, they don't allow. If I remember correctly, they might have even taken it out of the manual. But I don't even think we're allowed to read books. Are you kidding me, dude? Oh, man, if we were allowed to read books... during exams, yeah. Oh man, I would love it.
I was like, Marcus is a novels. Reader, so I would think that would be it. But
I was reading a light novel in class, and again, light novels are the anime, light novels that go into mangas, that go into animes and stuff. And I was reading Spice and Wolf, the light novel. I think I was like a volume. I just started volume 1 and 2. And they caught me reading, and I was like, no, it's just a book. Like, look, and it's no, and this is like my first 2 years teaching. You can't be reading. I don't know what. They were a lot stricter then. So, and because recently, a while back, this one, oh, I get it, right? Because I was reading a full blown manga in the middle class, right? Yeah. But I was trying to hide it there in the back, right? It was a book because according to the manual, you can have books. Hell, I believe even according to the manual, the matter of taking it out, students were even able to listen to music in the testing room. How true, you know, and I remember seeing it like, oh, damn, right. But of course, I'm not about to go and you know, fight this thing, right? But shoot, if I can read a book and if I can get away with it, dude, I'd be reading for pleasure a lot more. I'd get through a book in one sitting. Are you kidding me, dude? 300, 400 pages? Easy. In one testing administration. So we had English 1 today, which is the longest one. My last student finished what? At 2:45? Yeah, dude. Again, I started at 9.
Yeah.
And the students get a 30-minute lunch in class. So, you know, that time I'll go get my lunch, come back, and we're going at it again, man. So we're drained. The students were drained. And, you know, they walked in. You can tell. Bless their hearts, man. God, just shout out to all my students, to all those kids who tested today, man, because they really poured their heart out. They tried. And as a teacher, as an educator, I was thrilled. I was excited and just very prideful, you know, in those moments where I really see my students working hard and trying, and stuff like that is actually what makes my job rewarding. That was great to see, man. So, but there is English 2 on Thursday, and there's biology and algebra next week. Now, my freshmen do take the other tests next week. So obviously this time English 1's over. From here is projects, and I'm going to do some other stuff, higher learning and stuff like that. But I'm done, man. I'm done
teaching. No test. Retakes or anything like that for you all?
We do have, that's another shout out, right? We do, we have about 800 testers test our English 1 exam, closer to 9, including the retesters. We had over 95% students take the test today. So I think there was only 30 that need to retest tomorrow. I know, dude. I was like, what? I counted because they sent out the roster at the end of the day. I counted. I was like, man, I was like, that is, I don't know what, I don't know. It might just be because it's a great freshman group or whatever, or just, but man, kudos, man. Shout out. Cause it was great. It was good to see, man. And everything went smoothly. So I've been just trying to get through work, trying to get through school, but April, May, and as hard as we work, we are rewarded with an annual summer. So I'm going to enjoy it this year. I'll do summer school, but I'm drained. I'm getting ready for summer school, and I can play, watch, get back on my hobbies. Speaking of my hobbies, obviously, this is a Meta Nerd podcast, right? This isn't a education, nerd podcast.
The education station.
The education station. But as far as what I've done, I have not played much. I think the last thing I was playing was Vampire Survivor. I was playing religiously. Mm-hmm. Golden Sun, and things kind of got in the way, and I just haven't had the animo, and the energy, right? The energy to play or anything like that. So I've been watching a lot of One Piece, no joke. Every night I've been watching about 5-6 episodes a night, and Whole Cake Island. Oh, and I think Andrew said that he liked Dressrosa a lot. He said Whole Cake Island wasn't his favorite, stuff, but I love what I'm seeing so far, and I'm enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. So Whole Cake Island almost done. I think if I'm at 800, I'm about 835. I'm at what, maybe 200 episodes left, or give or take, about 250. I think it's a 1,080 something. So I'm almost caught up. I've been reading a lot of manga. I've caught up on what I was reading already. Excited. Just as a matter of fact, I was trying to pick up something new because I caught up on all 18 of the ones I was reading, and I was like, let me read something else. What? Because now since I caught up, I have to wait week to week again, and that sucks. So I am reading, or I was going to try to start one called Sweet Home, which was, I think, Netflix did a live action adaptation that was not supposed to be very good. But I hear the manhwa is fantastic. So I know people rave about it, and people have said it's one of their favorite pieces of just, media literature, period. Because the story is supposed to be really good. So I'm excited, to start that. I did find a good website, the Webtoon, and trying to support the author and stuff like that. So we'll see. But aside from that, I did sign up for, which I don't know why, but it's cheap, for the Viz Media, the $3 a month for Viz Media, unlimited manga. But my only gripe is I'm not sure what the censorship is like on those. And I know it sounds funny, but, I'm thinking of more like the One Punch Man's, the Hell's Paradise. The author obviously has a vision, and the author wants something drawn a certain way, and I don't want for them to censor it when obviously the message or whatever the uncensorship might be is going to get across. It's more for the message than anything else. Cause I know Hell's Paradise does a damn crazy job of doing that. So I did want to check out what the censorship is like on some of those. I tried to look on Reddit and stuff, and I wasn't really sure, but yeah. Other than that, as far as anime, just One Piece, obviously, just still going. The manga, that's where I'm at. So if anybody has any good recommendations out there, and I know the majority of them, but maybe your personal favorite, I would love to talk about it. Let me know. And what else? TV, yeah, that's right. TV and what is it? Live action? Nah, that's not happening. I think that's about it. Video games, yeah, that's about it. So for now, my video game thing is I really want to get back on, and I'm going to. As a matter of fact, I'm shooting for tomorrow this week. I'm going to get back and finish what I need to finish and jump on something new.
All right.
That is my rant.
Yeah, it was a good one.
I was solid 7 minutes.
No, but I'm glad. I'm glad that you the year's not over for you, but essentially that has to feel like a big weight off your shoulders.
Oh, yes. Right?
A big weight off your shoulders. So, and English is a tough one. And, as students, we've all been there in that room all day, taking that test. So I just commend you and being able to get through it, and your students, hopefully they all did well and, came out the other side feeling confident. And best of luck to the students and, to you the rest of the year. And I'm just glad because I know you've been stressed.
No, so, yeah, dude.
So I'm happy for you, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Awesome.
So in terms of some of the stuff from this week, before I get into some of the things that I've been watching, how about the eclipse? Did you get to check it out? Did you miss it? Were you all about it? There was a lot more news coverage than like a lot of other things we have, the shooting stars, asteroids, stuff like that we see. This one was big because I guess it was like the what was it called? Complete, like a complete eclipse. Total eclipse. Yeah, totality is what everybody kept saying.
Yeah. So what I didn't get was, I guess the and obviously, right, we have our, you have your solar eclipses, which is, we did have one last semester, and then we had our total eclipse, right? Our, in this case, there's the one that covered the entire sun. You saw the ring of fire, all that kind of good stuff. I think that's the small difference between the two, if I'm not mistaken. But I saw both of them, and I just like the whole ambiance, what happens. And unfortunately, it was a little cloudy, but even though it was cloudy, there was, you know, there was still sun, right? But when the eclipse started happening, you did see that just the ambiance just change around you, and the trees and the sidewalk got a little bit darker, right? And so I was all excited. I'm looking up, and mind you, I'm at work, and I'm during conference this time. And I said, the cool thing was our school made it they did the whole permission slips and stuff, but they put us on prep rally schedule, so that way the students can be in a certain seventh period, right, in the class while it was going on. So you should have seen it. Like, a lot of the students and their teachers, right, they had their glasses because our school is giving out the free solar glass eclipse glasses, and they all walked out, and the entire campus was kind of just looking up in different parts of the school. So it looked real cool. They took pictures, and they were all excited, and you heard some of them, oh, I don't see it. You heard, it's right there. So, oh, they get really excited and stuff like that, you know, because some of these kids are, you know, they don't care about that stuff. But when they actually learn about it and they're invested in it, you know, it's a lot cooler. So I saw it, and I was super excited. As a matter of fact, I text Alex being one of our good friends from Dallas. Hey, man, because he's an educator too, and same concept. I think he said same thing they're going to do with the students and stuff like that. So, hey, man, you got any pictures or video? He started sending me a bunch of videos, a bunch of pictures, man. I was geeking out. I'm like, oh, dude. And it was super cool because on his end, he in Dallas, it went right over. He saw the ring of fire, and it was a total eclipse on his end. So you saw it was sunny, and then it got, like, it was evening, like as if it was 8 o'clock, dusk had already set. And it looked cool, and I said, oh my god, that looks awesome. And he pointed the video camera up at the sun, and you saw the ring of fire. He took pictures. So I was geeking out with him and stuff like that, man. So that was awesome. So shout out to Alex for those pictures, man, because they were great. And I had a lot of fun just with the eclipse. I like that stuff. So, you know, I didn't go to, you know, because there was a lot of people traveling up north towards San Antonio, and Dallas area and stuff like that, lodges and trying to get a good view. But I know that was intense. And if you didn't plan it, you know, in advance, you know, or even if you did, man, that traffic, I'm sure, was horrendous.
Yeah, there was a lot of hype around this one, and I'm glad that you all got to experience it, like, as a school. I know a lot of schools did stuff like that. I did hear about a lot of schools, like, were trying to err on more, like, the caution side and didn't let their students, which I was like, man, like, that's unfortunate. Like, I get it, but, I mean, I would have much rather have something like you all, like, where you all provided the glasses, and it was an experience, you know, and at school, you know, they can learn and ask their teachers about it, and I thought that was really cool. Yeah. I thought one of the things that I was really interested in was the reaction of a lot of animals, because, like, animals are so in tune with, like, nature and the cycle of the day and, like, you know, and when it got dark all of a sudden, like, there was videos of animals at the zoo, like, real confused, like, oh, like, I guess it's time for bed. So they start retreating to, like, their little caves or wherever it is they sleep. And they're like, what? It's day again? Like, It was funny. So I think the next, we're not supposed to see something like this for, what is it, like 2020?
So I think 2050? 2050, yeah. Or 20, somewhere 2050? In the
2050s. Yeah. So, I mean, it was exciting. It was exciting. The other thing we had over the last couple of days, which is one of the things that had me glued to my TV, was the NCAA basketball championships for both the men and the women's. This was a big year because the women's actually drew a lot more numbers than the men's. Both were pretty exciting tournaments, but, you know, we had our standout stars. And the women's title ended up going to South Carolina. And for the men, UConn pulled it out. Did you get to watch these? Were you, you know, on the Caitlin Clark train? Did you watch Zach Edey? I know, you know, congrats to both of them. Great careers, even though they came up a little short there at the end. I mean, just great yeah, players.
I did see, I saw a little, I had the second half of the Iowa game, and then I saw the fourth quarter of the UConn game, but by then it was already done. They had just, you know, he had a great game. I was never a fan of his game personally, but the defense, UConn, was just, they just had no answer Purdue just couldn't get buckets aside from one guy, and the UConn was just dropping them. And they were still on fire by the fourth quarter. The Iowa game, as a matter of fact, we saw the UConn game, and then they played not the day after, but the following day, correct? And then again, it's one of those. Caitlin Clark just, you know, tried her best, and I don't want to say found the blueprint, but UConn did such a damn good job on Iowa and Caitlin Clark that they just had to reciprocate. And obviously, when you're dealing with a better team, in this case, a better offensive team and stuff, so it was just, good. It was great basketball, college basketball around. And in this case, you know, men's basketball is always March Madness was synonymous with March basketball, but this is a year where, you know, and last year kind of started putting on the map where, you know, March Madness is just, it's more than that. So women's basketball did come a long way, and hopefully it sticks like that, right? Where at least people will start paying attention more to both sides of the sport, because basketball is basketball, regardless of how slow it is, right? I know some of the girls' games do look a little slower than what we're used to, but good ball is good ball. You can't take away from that.
Yeah, and you know, shout out to a lot of the players out there. You know, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. We got to see Paige Beckers again. We got to see what's her name from South Carolina? It's not Camilla or Camille. Cardoza. Yeah, close. Juju, the freshman Juju, from USC. And then on the men's side, what was the name of the guy from? The guy that everybody fell in love with, the big boy.
You're talking about DJ?
Yeah, DJ.
Burns?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, big boy. DJ Burns. There was also, they call him, was it Avila? Where was he from? Indiana. I think he transferred the protocol, and he was another fan favorite. So, people just, the energy just gets crazy, and it gets very creative to these things. So, again, it was just good to watch, and especially from unorthodox type players. That was another cool thing. And those are the ones that always get highlights, because these type of players are not supposed to be doing these type of things. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what next year brings, man. See what the draft brings overall. I wasn't even a fan of, not a fan, I'm sorry. I don't know what kind of draft stock is coming from this class, but as of right now, there's not a lot of big names that we were familiar with. It's not like last year anyways, where you did have the Scoots and the Keontes and obviously the Wembanyamas and stuff like that. So there's not really a big name that people are kind of throwing out there right now. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I feel the same way versus like with the women's, you're like, okay, there's already five that we know for sure that are going to be drafted. And one thing I thought was really interesting is I think the WNBA draft is already like on the 15th, no?
Is it?
Maybe it's at the draft. Maybe it's the order. No, I think the order's already up there. So I know a lot of these, especially some of the women's players, are probably already prepping for their draft. And I think since this is an Olympic year, I know some of the women, I know for sure Caitlin Clark is going to be playing. I'm not sure about Beckers or some of the other ones, but I know Clark has already committed to playing for the Olympic team. So at least her we're going to see again this year, this summer. Yeah. So some exciting stuff. It was a great tournament. And just for the basketball heads out there, it was just great to watch, you know, okay, today's the women, tomorrow the men, then the women, then the men, then the, and it was just everything played out really well. It was a lot of fun. The other thing that had me glued to my TV this weekend was WrestleMania. WrestleMania this year was awesome. Awesome. There was a lot of big changes. I don't know if you kept up with any of the, just online of different posts or whatever. I know I had filled you in a while back with, the whole movement that was happening with Cody Rhodes and the excitement behind him coming back to the WWE after going to other companies. And, it was just one of those great instances of storytelling in a lot of other things, but more particularly like in that match where like this match and this result where he finally was able to win the championship from Roman Reigns was like 2 years in the making. Then there was some other aspects of the match, like particularly in the last maybe 5 minutes where there was a storyline kind of wrapped up that started 10 years ago, Marcus. So it was like, whoa.
10 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah, it was big. I don't want to say everything because if some people haven't watched it yet or, you know, it was amazing. It was amazing. Just the little attention to detail that they put into that last match. And then some of the other matches too were really great. And it was the first WrestleMania under like completely new leadership. You know, we've had those controversies this past year with Vince McMahon and, you know, him kind of having to bow out of the wrestling business and, you know, take care of other things legally. I won't get into all that, but now Triple H, which is, you know, just the way a lot of us know him, that no wrestling has kind of taken up the mantle and is kind of like running the show now. So it was just a great first WrestleMania for him, and has garnered a lot of excitement for wrestling fans again. So it was a hell of an event.
I think I just saw an article. Didn't Vince McMahon sell like $344 million of his stock or something like that?
He had initially sold a lot of stock before, but he was still going to remain like on the board and be in charge. Because remember that they had this merger under TKO, which now has ownership in like UFC and WWE. So then after he was kind of supposed to be going away, but then he came back and he was still kind of running the show and, you know, changing things. But, you know, he was still in charge. He was still in charge of WWE, even though, like, a lot of people said, oh, like, stuff's finally going to change. And then with the whole controversy with him and, you know, some of these, I don't want to say, like, for sure. So I guess I'll just say with the allegations against him, he was kind of forced out completely.
Yeah.
So he's gone. So now, you know, it's different. It's completely different. Which, I mean, you can't deny some of the things that he's done for wrestling, but also, like, he did, allegedly, he did some pretty horrible stuff. So it was already time for him to go. It was the right move. And you know, for a long time, wrestling fans have wanted to kind of move on from that and have always dreamed of like, what will it be once he stops holding it back? Because he was always kind of stuck in that old school mentality and not really doing this, you know, staying up to date with like the new fans, the new fandom, and like kind of moving with the times. So I think that's what a lot of people are excited about right now. And let's see kind of what how much momentum they're able to build. I know they're going to be moving to Netflix, I think, next year. So that's going to be a big change as well for a lot of people.
Like, are they going to do, like, weekly programming type stuff on Netflix? Or
yeah, it's going to be the same thing, I think, where, as it stands right now, they still have, I think, I know Monday Night Raw for sure is on USA. I don't remember if SmackDown is also on USA now, or, no, I think they're on one of the primary channels. NBC or maybe one of those. Mm-hmm. And then they have NXT in the middle of the week, which I'm not sure what NXT, I don't really watch NXT, but they have those three shows like on cable right now. And then they have their pay-per-views. They have them on Peacock. So I think at least their shows that are on cable right now are going to be going over to Netflix. So it's going to be like a weekly Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, I think, are going to be the ones that are going to be on Netflix.
Nice.
You'll have that to watch there if you're a Netflix subscriber and if you're, you know, interested in that. So yeah, it was great all around. Something else. Okay, this one, which is I think we can both get excited for. These two actually. Haikyuu finally got an announcement. They're gonna be coming, the movie's gonna be coming worldwide, I think, the May 30th, and I think specifically the United States is going to be May 31st.
Ooh.
So next month, at the end of next month, it'll be in theaters here in the U.S., which is going to be a Friday, May 31st. And then the Blue Lock movie, episode Nagi, is coming to North America on June 28th. I know the Haikyuu one is one I've been waiting for a long time. And then, you know, Blue Lock is a little bit more recent. I honestly really love that one, too. You know, I haven't been waiting for that one quite like I've been waiting for the Haikyuu stuff. But
for sure.
I'm still really excited that it's coming.
Yeah, especially when Haikyuu's already, well, the manga's already done, right? And in terms of Blue Lock, it isn't. So, but there are some fan favorite characters, and they're both gonna do some amazing jobs, especially, you know, with the characters that we enjoy. So the Haikyuu movie, you know, Battle of the Dumpster Trash, Battle of the Trash Can, it's gonna be great. It's gonna be awesome. I can't wait. I'm gonna be watching it in theaters. I'm sure Rico is gonna watch it too, right?
Oh, I am. That, you know, it's been a while since it's actually been a while. I can't remember the last thing I went to go see at the movies, but this one for sure. I'm going out there to watch this. It's easy, like easy. I'm there.
Yeah, and it, IMAX Dolby, doesn't matter to me. I'm gonna see this in all its glory. As a matter of fact, we say it's that one. Blue Lock. I'm interested for it, you know, but obviously, the movie, I think, is more, I think it's standalone, because I don't think there's anything like that I've seen in the manga. And I am up to date with the manga. I do read the manga weekly. And I don't know if there's anything like that. But again, when it comes to just characters and how awesome they are, it's going to blow some socks off. So we got Blue Lock, Haikyuu. What's the other one? There's one. Well, that's not, this is actually coming out this Friday, if I'm not mistaken. We do have the Spy Family, Code White, coming out on Friday. I believe this Friday. So, hey man, I try to watch any anime I can in theaters, because it's always a treat. You're looking at these awesome visuals, these great animations, especially on this big old screen, or, you know, great sounds. And there's honestly no better way to do it. So, personally,
yeah, you're right. Anything else anime before I have one other thing I want to touch on before that's going to be more gaming related, but any anime stuff? I know we're coming up on Kaiju, or right?
Kaiju number 8.
Yeah, I know. When is that dropping? Sure, I know it's already really soon.
Yeah, it's either, I don't think it's this week. I think it's next week. If I'm not mistaken. But the only thing, as a matter of fact, I think like Spice and Wolf already dropped. A lot of them, they're starting to drop. A lot of these new anime, if you haven't kept up with them, you can always, again, Anime Planner or My Anime List does a good job of showing you which ones are coming out and stuff like that. But in this case, what's already come out? I think I mentioned last time, right? Windbreaker, I think we mentioned that one. But the Spice and Wolf just dropped. That was the first one. Kaiju number 8 is probably the next big one. That one has not dropped yet. I'm checking here, and it has not. Yeah, not yet. So that one's probably next week or the week after. Actually, I'm thinking next week. So for some reason, I'm thinking like the 19th or what is it? The 12th? Nah, yeah, the 19th, I'm thinking more or less, if I remember correctly. Something like that. But it's going to be good, too. The only thing I had for anime, which was, it was kind of a small, I don't want to say discussion, but it just kind of got me thinking as far as what the future is going to be like for anime. When I say the future, I mean like in the next few years, the immediate future. And I don't know if this is going to have like the same, I don't want to say repercussion, but the same effect that, you know, transpired, you know, when anime was first taught, because there was a time where anime was just being, you know, thrown out left and right, just boom, 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 and they were just coming up with stuff. But obviously at the time, things were more selective and there was less of it. You know, and if it hit, great. If it didn't, then that's fine. They just not make another season. In this case, in this day and age, and I've always called where we're at the golden age, because we have all kinds of anime, manga. We have, you know, it's cool to watch anime and read manga now. You know what I mean? Or in our case, it wasn't. So one of the things, and I came across this article, and it says, "Will anime? How was it? Is anime in trouble?" And I didn't even click the link, but I got to thinking, well, what's there to be in trouble about? And then I just really thought, well, in essence, right, we know about the animators. We know about how their working conditions out there are just not up to par as people want them to be. And one of the things is, and then I started thinking about, you know, our time. Well, in retrospect, if companies and these people are trying to, you know, okay, it's a money business. You make money, right? You're trying to get as much money as you can. You're trying to find the next big anime. And it's come to a point where they're animating all kinds of stuff. And I'm talking in the last 7-8 years, they've almost tripled the amount of anime that they push out. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, okay, and we already know, again, going back to animators, you know, they might get burnt out, or, you know, it's just the working conditions are not up to there. So what happens after we finally get to that point? Are we going to see a lot less anime being pushed out? Is Crunchyroll going to start developing, you know, because then I saw another article where it's like, hey, meet these two Americans who are animating in Japan now. It's like, okay, cool. So now we have other people besides Japanese artists going and animating for these studios. So are we going to get more of that going in? And so I said, man, so it's either going to go that way where more people are just going to get into the industry, make it more, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess easier, more resourceful as far as animating these things, or is anime just going to take a dip in general and just go to what we experience? Because remember, in the 2000s, 1999, anime was not that, it wasn't as big, especially when it came to a lot of media, because people don't really understand that, you know, when it comes to Crunchyroll and all the subscription, yes, they get a percentage, but the majority of their money does come from physical media releases. And I don't know how many people know that, but if you're not buying it, you know, if you're not buying the anime or if you're not buying the set or whatever, you know,
or merch,
yeah, you're not really, you're not really, what's that word? Man, I just said it. You're not really helping the anime grow, you know what I mean? So, and you know, and because in my case, I was thinking, okay, Spice and Wolf, right? Spice and Wolf came out, they had two seasons, but then they dropped it. It's been 10 years, you know. What was the other one? The devil's life as a what was it? He's the cook. I forgot which one it was. The part timer, the day life, the devil, the part timer, yeah. That one, again, it was one of those early ones. It had one season. It didn't do so hot, so they scrapped it. They didn't do it again. You see, but now we're in that age where they're revisiting a lot of these things, where they're remaking them. Rurouni Kenshin, hello, right? They also did that one. They're remaking them, giving an extra season. Tiger and Bunny got another one. All these old animes are finally coming back because we were in that golden realm. Is there going to come a time when anime falls off? What do you think?
I feel like the bubble of, in terms of, like, I watch a lot more than I read. I do read a little bit, but, you know, I feel like, for one, that whole bubble that's going on right now with, you know, animators and people, like, being driven, you know, to the bone, like, to work to get, like, these, to produce, like, these anime and, like, the big studios and, like, MAPPA's making this one and that one and this one, and then they're going to be doing this one right after and then that one. It just feels like, we're like, that bubble is inevitably going to burst, like, at some point. And I did see a lot of discussion about this also over the last couple of days. I think I even saw one article where it said that the average staff for anime earns, like, $7 an hour. Like, is what people are making, like, an hour. And this is, like, for people that I think most of the people were, like, animators, and then there was some writers and stuff like that also. But, I mean, that's crazy, like, for us to be in this golden age, which I agree. Like, it's awesome. It's popping off. It's everything. But $7 an hour, and then, like, you hear these conditions of, like, you know, these people are like, you know, just working themselves to the bone. A lot of people get sick. A lot of people have issues. And then on top of that, like, in a time, I didn't know it for sure, but I figured even before you said it, that a lot of the money, which, let's be real, at the end of the day, the incentive for a lot of these people to keep producing these anime is going to be a money-based incentive. And if we're not buying those physical things, that's going to give them less reason to, like, continue to develop these and just move on to the next project, because, like you said, they're pumping out projects like crazy.
Oh yeah.
So with this big move, and I'm not saying just anime, because it's happening in a lot of other industries, you know, video games, movies, all this stuff, that we're starting to go away from physical stuff and just starting to go a lot more digital. Like, it's scary, like, and it's a very real possibility that it starts to take a dip and that they're going to be a lot more selective with which ones they're going to continue to pursue and put out there for people. Which, I mean, from my perspective, I guess I don't want that. It's not going to hurt me as much, but I don't want that because I only consume a certain amount of anime at a time. and I will find things that are interesting to me, and then I'll watch them, enjoy them. I think there's very few anime that I've seen that I was like, nah, it's not for me. But I know there's a lot of people that this is like their primary thing. I think you a lot more than me. And then I think there's probably even people that are crazier about anime and reading and the manga and have their collections and sets and all that. Even, you know, further invested in this thing. I think for people like that, like, it's scary. Just like, you know, a while back that we talked about, like, Best Buy was going to start getting rid of, like, the movies on the shelf.
Oh, and they did. Like,
yeah, and which for us, like, you know, I don't think it's that... I don't think it's as crazy of a deal. I don't know how you do in terms of collecting movies and stuff like that, or sets and stuff like that. I know for video games, you do like, you know, your collector's editions and stuff like that. But movies, maybe it's not that big of a deal. But then, you know, there are film people out there, you know, our buddy Ricky. I know he likes to collect, like, you know, his certain movies.
Yeah,
or
special features, the 4K Ultra Blu-ray, yeah. You know, yeah, yeah.
Jed is that way too. Andrew, I think, is that way too. So this is another one of these kind of things where, like, it is going to get a little bit of a hit at some point. I think it's coming. How bad it's going to be, I don't know if I would say they're in trouble, like it's going to die. I think that's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But it is going to take a hit at some point, because all this stuff that's been going on over the last couple of years, plus the change of, like, going away from physical stuff, is going to eventually catch up.
And yeah, which I've always been a physical guy. I collect everything physical. I do have, I used to have a bigger anime collection, and I do buy the collector's editions and the limited editions of my favorite anime. As a matter of fact, and this was before Crunchyroll Funimation, I would not watch anything online, and I would wait for the actual set to come out, buy the set, and then watch it. I did that with a lot of my movies, with a lot of my anime, which is why I still have a huge collection. They are not that anime collections worth a lot of money, because collector's editions, limited editions, there's a huge market for that stuff. There really is. And when it comes to, like, Aniplex, they overprice their stuff so much. And I'm talking like, 12 episodes, $150 in a small little slipcase, like $150. You buy that, you buy season 1 and 2, guess what? It'll go up to about $500-$600. You know what I mean? Because there is that much of a market for that, those typical things. But again, I know people used to complain about those type of prices, man, but that's just, that's what they, you know, not what they go for, but that's the way they make the bulk of their money, not through Crunchyroll or Funimation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was just an interesting kind of topic and discussion that I saw, but I'm in agreement. You know, it's just, I think it's a matter of time till we go back into that weird spot where it's anime is never going to go away. Anime has been around since the 70s. But as far as just the amount of, I guess, product and merchandise that you see, probably will at one point take a dip, because strangely enough, I think the generation right now is very reminiscent of our generation, right? The millennials and stuff like that, to where, you know, a lot of the things for them, we experienced, you know, I think, as a matter of fact, one of the things was the type of jeans they wore, their clothes, and then their hair and stuff like that. And you kind of see it with the younger group and stuff like that. And even and the boys and girls. And again, just, it's weird. It's weird to see. And things kind of coming full circle, but it's gonna be interesting down the road. Crunch, and obviously the apps will stick around, will stand the time, because they do have the older content, and they will, you know, as long as people are buying them, they'll be okay. But it's just as far as, like, because Japanese need to make their money, and they're the animators and the primary studios. As long as there's money to be made, they're gonna be made. But as soon as money stops, and like Rico mentioned, just we're getting away from the physical stuff. I think at one point it is going to be a little interesting to see.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, there it's just a combination of things, and hopefully it's not too bad of a hit. You know, at the end of the day, we've always said it. We want these people that put out, you know, these things that we all enjoy to be compensated, right? So that's one, that's kind of like the one big thing. And then the other media stuff, you know, you brought up a real good point about, you know, if you're a fan of some of these things, you know, do your best to support them in a way that's going to help them, in a way that's going to give them an incentive to keep investing in this show, in this manga, in this anime that you like. And, you know, I'm not saying you like go out there and buy all the sets, buy all the, you know, $100, okay, whatever. But you know, if you're one of those people that does like a lot of people do it. Let's be honest. Watch things online. If you do watch things online and you know pirate them and stuff like that. If you like something and you want something to continue, you know, go out there and buy a set. Go out there and buy a manga. Copy, just something, give them something for, the time that you're able to put into this that you like, whether it's, something you read, something you watch, a game, whatever. That's across the board for everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
Yeah, hopefully it's not too crazy, but I have been seeing a lot of discussions, particularly about how much people are making, how much they're working over the month and stuff like that. It's crazy. And like I said, I think it's a bubble that's just waiting to just pop. And, without the animators, like, what are these people going to do?
Yeah, dude, for real. So it was something I wanted to bring up. And yeah, it was, a good conversation.
Yeah, it is. It is. The last thing I had was Overwatch today got a director's take. I don't know if you got to see it and see online some of the things that they talked about in the director's take?
A couple of things. I saw some of the DPS, mainly Sombra, I think Tracer. I did see the Wrecking Ball thing. I was testing, so the only sliver of information I got was when I went to the restroom and I stayed there for about 5 minutes or whatever. So I did see a couple of those things. And what was Wrecking Ball? Again, that was my big thing, just kind of seeing what his changes were going to be in his rework and stuff like that. And from what I've seen, he's going to be a little bit more the... How do I say it? He's going to keep his mobility, just not make it...
And improve his mobility.
Yeah, because it was the hook. The hook would have, depending on the cooldown, on like the hook and the cooldown, it's supposed to reduce cooldown. The part I read that was interesting was, if whatever you grapple, you'll be able to go into your grapple if you want to go that way, instead of swinging, right? Did I read that correctly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I saw that too, which I guess makes it better for new Wrecking Ball players. But once you learn it, you're good. One of the things that kind of took me a while was gauging the distance from your hook to certain, how long it's going to be to get through certain crevices. So, like in my case, a lot of times I will play with Wrecking Ball in such small, tight knit areas and not so much, open spaces. In arcade, I will play in Malavento, which there's nooks and crannies, no big spaces, but I'm able to maneuver in there because of the gauging the hook. So when I saw that, I said, damn, the cool thing is that when I'm trying to get away and I'm trying to get high ground, I do have to hook, so I'll hook up. And in this case, you do make that big U or whatever, or that small U to get into the top. Or in this case, his mobility is improved because you just kind of shoot that way and you could take off, right? Because
Think about it kind of the way Widow uses her grapple. That's essentially what that new maneuverability is going to be like. At least that's what I would compare it to in something that we already know if you're an Overwatch player. And then, of course, the reduced cooldown when you're not, going into your... I don't remember what the form is called. When you, are on fire and, you actually are going to boot people. When you go into that,
I don't remember what it's called either, but I know what you mean.
Fireball? Is it fireball?
Maybe
something like that. I think that's what it's called.
I just boot them off.
Yeah. So I think you're gonna have reduced cooldown when you don't go into that. So of course that mobility is gonna improve. Then the other thing was the adaptive shield changes, where you're gonna be able to give some of your adaptive shield to your team. Which that's always been one of the things with Wrecking Ball. It's he's a cool tank. He has mobility, but what does he do for the team? Yeah. Which is kind of one of the things with a lot of those tanks, with Doomfist. I know is another one of those where he goes and does a lot of displacement, a lot like Wrecking Ball, but what does he do for the team? If your team is not capitalizing on you going in there and putting yourself at risk, then what else are you doing? And here, this kind of gives people an incentive, don't worry, I'm going in, go in with me, and I'll give you some health. So it's going to be a little bit, I've heard it compared a little bit to Junker Queen's Shout, because it's not crazy. It's only 75 max that you can give per ally, but still, like, for the, you know, the Tracers, the Genjis, the Sombras that are already so crazy.
Well, shoot, even in like in a team fight, if because a lot of the things is you hook into a fight where your team, like if you're trying to cap point, you hook into a team fight, you go into the air, you ground in, and you ground smash or whatever, and that's already a plus. You're giving them 75. That it's good for team fights. I think it's great.
Yeah, I think so too. I think this gives him that gives him, we finally have an answer for like what does he do for the team other than just displacement and, you know, getting eyes on him and giving other people openings. So yeah, he's going to have something now to like engage and help his team. There was supposed to be some other changes. They didn't go into detail, but there's going to be some changes for Junker Queen and Reinhardt as well. They did mention something with Shatter. They're going to do something with Shatter.
Oh, I think they made it more. I didn't read that. It wasn't anything too crazy. I think it was just, it was it more damage or was it further or something like that?
Really? I don't think I saw what they had said it was going to be.
Yeah, I think it was something like that. I'm pretty sure it was something like that.
Yeah, I just know that they're supposed to be upping the impact of Carnage and Earthshatter. So
yeah,
but I don't think they went into detail like too much. It just that the changes are coming for those two.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, I read it wrong.
So yeah, I mean, those are two other tanks that are, you know, big favorites. So that's going to be exciting. I did mention Sombra and Tracer. They are supposed to be getting some adjustments. Sombra, which I'm not sure, like they decided to attack her through her virus. It's going to be doing 10 less damage over time. But I don't know if that's really like the big thing with Sombra, like what kind of can ruin games for people. But
the fact that she's annoying.
Yeah, because I mean, honestly, we've all been bullied by a Sombra at one point or another, and I don't know if it's really the virus thing that makes it annoying. But I mean, let's see what ends up coming out of it. And with Tracer, I think they specifically said they're gonna make her a little bit more punishable, and they're gonna make it so that she requires a little bit more precision in her aiming. So I don't know if they're gonna lower maybe the hitbox for her weapons or what they're gonna do for her. That they didn't go into specifics with her, but they just said they're gonna tune her down a little bit since she's been so dominant with these new changes.
Yeah.
The other three that they talked about were Mora, Lucio, and Illari. That they want to alter their kits so that their power lies in other areas. The only one they went into, I think, was Illari. For example, they're going to try to shift more of her power into her healing beam. So the healing per second is going to go up.
Mm.
I think they also talked about maybe Lifeweaver getting some changes, that they're going to try and get him to make impact in a different way, but of course they want to do that without breaking, like going back to the days where it's just you can't, he out heals everything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I was really excited about the Wrecking Ball thing. I've been finally trying to learn him a little bit when I play quick play. So I don't know, man. These changes seem kind of crazy. But I mean, he's been in a rough spot for a while, so I'm glad they're showing him some love, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure the excitement I have is probably tenfold for you since you play the character a lot more.
Yeah, I'm excited. Again, anything Wrecking Ball, you know, Wrecking Ball and D.Va are just, you know, probably two of my mains at this point. I can call him that. But Wrecking Ball is my second most played, if I'm not mistaken, because he came midway through Overwatch 1, so.
Yeah. Anything else you want to discuss, throw in there? I think they also, real quick, I think they also mentioned they're going to be making some changes to Venture, and she might actually release earlier. I know the standard thing is new hero comes out, they wait 2 weeks, then put them in comp. I think this time Venture might be coming a little early.
Yeah, I heard, because they were actually really happy with the playtest that they did, mm-hmm. that they felt comfortable enough, you know, that they felt they were balanced, that they were not too oppressive, but at the same time fun to play and not too too weak. So that's what I read as far as Venture was concerned. So I thought that was cool, the fact that they did such a good job. I guess I don't want Jinx, right, but the first time, right, where it's been a while and stuff like that. So yeah, that's cool to watch. And again, Venture was just a lot of fun, so give us more characters, man.
Yeah, Yeah, it's exciting. So I'll ask again. Anything else you want to throw in there from the past week?
I'm trying to think. I don't think there was anything too crazy. Nothing in terms of video games, as far as at least I don't remember seeing anything. No, that's it for me.
Okay. We did get a Joker trailer today. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't. That's what I was going to watch.
We did get a Joker trailer. We did get some new updates for the final DLC, it seems like, of Destiny 2, which seems like it's going to be doing some crazy things. I liked what I saw. I'm going to continue to follow that. Maybe I'll finally get back into at least finishing off Destiny 2. And, you know, I've spent a lot of time in that universe already. So if it keeps going the way I think it is, I think I might have to get that DLC and play it in June.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it looked exciting. And man, again, I'm scrolling Twitter and I'm looking at this dunk again.
Yeah, I did tweet right before we started podcasting, because we you know, it was one of those things where I was tired and I was like, man, I'm gonna get through it. I'll get into the mood, get into the rhythm. And I saw that video and I lost it. And then we saw the photo there in one of the comments. Oh my God, we lost it again. So I did tweet that out there, you know, as a little fun. It's gonna be on Shaqton the Fool. It's gonna win this one, this next one. But do you think it's the Shaqton of the year? We'll see. But man, was it hilarious.
With that picture, it has to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I would hope they do something with it, because that's too good. It really was. There's no way, like... And again, just the whole play, the setup, the selfishness, man. God. And then he goes up and he falls down and gets hurt.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's it then.
Yeah. Wow. That was actually 1 hour. Well, less than an hour at this point. Well, if that's the case, then I'll go ahead and sign us out. I know it's been a while, and just again, week to week, getting back into the rhythm, getting back into the groove of things. If you haven't checked out last week's podcast, we did talk about basketball, Xbox. We talked about a little bit of anime, because there were some things that, you know, just started. So if you haven't checked out the spring list, it's already halfway there. The first episodes are going, and we're gonna have a good anime season. At the same time, we do have a couple of last minute video games here coming out here. I did see some pre-orders actually were getting canceled for the Thousand Year Door for the Switch for some reason, Amazon. So I think that has some people a little bit on an edge. But if you're able to secure your copies, get them, because it's probably gonna be one of those expensive copies later on down the road, knowing, you know, Nintendo and their pricing model. But other than that, thank you guys for listening, and you guys have a good night. We are the Mid-Era Nerds.